And get your Bibles out tonight. Ezekiel, last chapter in the book of Ezekiel. Say, which chapter is that? Well, you'll know when you get there. Ezekiel chapter number 48. How many of you went to Daniel and went one page back? It's easier, right? Thank you. All right. Is that what you did, Tim? All right, good. So proud of you. Ezekiel chapter 48. Let's start in verse 30. What we have here is a little bit of the description of heaven. I don't know what you're excited about in heaven. No sin.
Yeah.
That'd be good. No death. That'd be nice. Streets of gold sound pretty great.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. I mean, yes, that's the carnal part of me, but man, I want to see what that looks like. The Bible says this, and these are the goings out of the city of the north side. Sounds like Mrs. Frediani wrote Ezekiel chapter 48 and verse 30. And these are the goings out of the city of the north side. 4,500 measures. And the gates of the city shall be after the names of the tribes of Israel, 3 gates northward, 1 gate of Reuben, 1 gate of Judah, 1 gate of Levi. And on the east side, 4,500 and 3 gates, and 1 gate of Joseph and 1 gate of Benjamin, 1 gate of Dan. And on the south side, 4,500 measures and 3 gates, 1 gate of Simeon, 1 gate of Issachar, and 1 gate of Zebulun. At the west side, 4,500. But there are 3 gates, 1 gate of Gad, and 1 gate of Asher, and 1 gate of Naphtali. You get the idea, yes? The Bible says it was around about 18,000 measures. But what makes heaven so wonderful? The Bible says, and the name of the city from that day shall be, the Lord is there. There's a lot of things I look forward to, people and circumstances and the lack of the problems here. But there's one resounding truth of heaven that ought to trump all of those. The Lord Himself is there. I look forward to the day to enter a place whose name is the Lord is there. Heavenly Father, we thank You for tonight. Thank You for the opportunity to be able to open up Your Word. God, as we look forward to that day, God, it's good to know that You're here with us right now. God, I pray You'd meet our needs. Lord, I pray You'd encourage us and guide us along the way. Lord, thank You that we can say that no one has cared for us like You. Lord, we've seen Your work in our life, and to which we are thankful. Lord, I ask You to bless the service here tonight for Your honor and for Your glory, and I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. There's been circumstances maybe in each of our lives and where we can look back and say, God was there. This should have happened or that should have happened. Usually they're near-death experiences because if you're telling them, well, maybe you were spared. But I want to encourage you here tonight with this thought. The Lord is there. The Lord is there. Romans chapter number 10. I was talking to my sister last week. I'm not sure if I shared this with you, but talking to my sister last week, she was on some pretty strong medication, kind of similar to Mrs. Parrott after surgery, and she was just being sappy. And I told her, I said those pain meds got you sappy. She's like, you're sober and sappy. And I said, well, that wasn't nice, you know. But it's true. So true. I don't know. I read things about heaven and it just, I don't know. I listen to Charity sing and I think about the love of God in my life, and it's sometimes just overwhelming. Romans chapter number 10. The Bible says, for whosoever shall, I just cleaned my eyes off and I said something and now here we are again. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says that if I call upon God, you know what? He's there. Not one sinner that is knelt in repentance and calling upon the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter how wicked the sinner, no how far, what a mess they have made of their lives, when they called upon God, God answered. Isn't that good to know? He was there. The Lord is there. I remember a young boy, 10 years old, living in Irondequoit. My mom was really searching. She had been making a mess of her life and searching for the Lord, unable to put things together. She had dealt with a lot of illness and sickness, and it just been a rough go. And a church just happened to be starting right around the corner. And she was looking for the Lord. And she must have been mid-30s, 30 years of life in the world. Very similar, and in just a few weeks it'll be 34 years since I've asked the Lord to save me. And as a 10-year-old boy, and as my mom was making a mess of her life, and she turned from that, and she called upon God, you know what she heard? An answer. She called and asked God, said, God, would you please forgive me of my sin? And I did the same thing, and you did the exact same thing. And when you turned from your sin and you called upon God and believed in your heart, you know what? The Lord was there answering. Today, just so happened, I was sitting down for a second on the couch. Okay, I laid down with pillows and a blanket. I wasn't sitting down. My eyes closed for a couple minutes. I felt my watch buzzing. I missed a... Say, you felt your watch? It's a watch, you know, and it notifies me when I have a phone call. I felt it, but it was in my dream, and I really didn't want to move. Missed a call. When I arose, I looked, and not one person that has ever called upon the Lord Jesus Christ to save them from their sin got a busy signal or said, I'll deal with this later. Why? Because the Lord is there. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit down with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Why? Because the Lord is there. When I knocked on his door, we go through a lot of doors through those apartments. And what do we hope for? One person in a building. There's four buildings. Maybe it's a lack of faith, whatever it is. But it seems like charity, our average is one person per four houses. And we knock on that door and we just pray, Lord, I pray someone is home. Sometimes they're home, sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're home and they don't answer. Shh, quiet. You see the little hole, right? They don't like it when you put your eye on it looking back. I'm just telling you from experience. But you see like bright light as if no one's there. All of a sudden, there's something there. And then you're, shh, quiet, quiet. Don't say anything. We've heard it, right? TV's going. Mom, someone's at the door. It's fine. Not one time did I come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not one person came to the Lord and said, would you please forgive me? Only to get, I'm sorry, no one's here today. I'm sorry, that line is busy. I'm sorry, that line has been changed. That number's been disconnected. No, not at all. Hey, when you call on him to save you, the Lord is there. Our life doesn't stop there. Man, it would be so easy if the Lord just yanked us right out and took us to heaven when that happened. But that's not the case. We have to live in this world. And as Christians, sometimes we get involved in sin. And when the Christian sins, you know what? The Lord is there. Psalm 90, verse 8. Go with me to Psalm 90. Psalm 90 in verse 8. It says this, thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins. You know, it almost seems like, it almost seems wrong to even put that word there. Our secret sins in light of thy countenance. There's nothing that you've done against God that he doesn't know. Maybe your boss, you've gotten away with something. Maybe at your workplace, the rule is this, and you broke the rule, and you got away with it for a while. Do you know that you'll never get away with sin with the Lord? Why? Because he's always there. Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse 11, it says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Hey, it's not a good idea as a Christian to go along and find the sin of this world and just grab hold hand on it. Why? Because God's there. He sees that. The Bible says to be a reproof to that. "For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." Hey, sin isn't a joke. It's not funny. God doesn't consider it funny. And make fun of it. You know what God says? That's a shame for the Christian. "But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. Whatsoever doth make manifest is light." God's going to bring that thing to light. Maybe you started a project, and when you started it, it was light out. And well, the bolt wouldn't come out well. So what do you need? You need more light to make manifest so I can see what I'm doing. Hey, you understand that there's things that we're... there's things that can be done in secret, but the Lord sees that. Because the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place. So I don't know if that... Ask Jonah. That's what I always immediately think of. I can get away from the Lord. That's what Jonah thought. Jonah thought he could run away from the calling of God. No. No, God has an excellent tracking system. Maybe there was a time in your life when you weren't doing things right. Doing things that you should have. Not doing things that you should have. Say, yeah, I felt a lot of guilt. Why was that? Because the Lord was there. Because you knew. Because Colossians 1:27 tells us that Christ is inside of us. It's not like, oh, if I'm around this, that's going to make me feel guilty or whatever. Hey, when we sin against the things of God, you know what? The Lord is there. He sees that. Bible reminds us to fear the Lord. What is that? To approach him reverentially. God is there when you call on him to save you. God is there when the Christian sins. The Lord is there, listen now, when you come back. Luke 15. One of my favorite passages. Son takes the wealth of his inheritance and he goes and he lives it up in the world. In Luke chapter 15, verse 13, it says this, "Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." The Bible says, "When he had spent all those, there arose a mighty famine in that land. He began to be in want." Son goes and just lives it up in the world. I'm going to take every dollar I have and I'm going to go see what the best that this world has to offer. You're just wasting your time. You're just wasting. Would you take someone else's testimony? Would you just listen for a moment? The Bible says the son came to himself. Verse 17. When he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger?" And the son finally came to himself there. What does he find? In verse 20, "And there, and he arose and came to his father, and when he was yet a great way off," it says. He was long from home, but he was on his way back. The Bible says the father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The father was there waiting. Hey, when you walk away from the things of God, Isn't it good to know that the Lord is there waiting for you to come back? And that's encouragement. Not once did I ever get a letter from the Lord saying, cease and desist. We are no longer in a relationship anymore. I'm thankful for that. The son goes out and he pours out his heart to the Lord. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. He's taken off the title. He says, here, I want to get rid of this. I've messed up so bad. But the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Why? Because his son was dead and is alive again. His son came home. I'm going to ask you here tonight, is the Father really waiting there for you to come back to Him? Yes. Because His love and His mercy is greater than your sin. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. And I know in our mind we can't make sense of that, but please understand that God is there waiting. The best thing you could do is take a step towards Him. It's amazing, when we take steps towards Him, He runs to us. Don't ever forget that. The Lord is there when you call on Him to save you. The Lord is there when you sin. The Lord is there when you come back. Genesis chapter number 39. Genesis chapter 39 and verse 2. One of my favorite characters in the scriptures, Joseph. Bible says in Genesis 39, 2, and the Lord was with Joseph. Where's Joseph? Joseph is in Egypt in Potiphar's house. He's not with his family. He's been sold. He's been bought. Now he's in Potiphar's house. And yet, verse 2, and the Lord was there. And the Lord was with Joseph. Hey, in your life, I want to encourage you. I want to remind you of this. Told you this morning, tonight, I want to be trying to help and encouragement to you. When things look dismal and in the hardest point of your life, please know that God is there with you. He's there to come right alongside and walk right beside you right through the whole thing. This is a good man away from his family. You know, as Christians, we look out into the world and you know what? Things look dismal. But for Joseph, the Lord was with him in the midst of Egypt. If he's with Joseph in the midst of Egypt, then he can be with me in the midst of this world. When all others forsake, hey, know that God is there. In chapter 39, look at verse 20. And Joseph's master took him and put him into prison. Why? Because he was falsely accused. Put him in prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison, but the Lord was with Joseph. Just when you don't think it could get any worse. Maybe you're going through life and you're just, God's ways just not making any sense, and then it gets even harder. Know that God is there. God is there with Joseph. The Bible says this. It's remarkable to me that He shows him favor and mercy, but yet he's still in prison. In my mind, I think, if you want to show me favor and mercy, get me out of this place. But here we learn a very valuable lesson. The presence of God in our life is far more valuable than any difficult circumstance that we can be going through. The presence of God in your life far exceeds what this world could throw at you. The most important relationship in this world is between you and God. When all others forsake, I encourage you to be reminded of this, that the Lord is with you. John chapter number 16. When my mom passed away, I was early 20s. I was out of town. She was here in the hospital. She passed away. Flew back home the next flight, and I remember walking into my living room in Irondequoit. My stepdad was there. My mom's parents were there. My grandfather was sitting in the chair, just sitting there, like lost. His daughter passed away. Unexpected. And he's just sitting there with his two hands, just not there. In life, sometimes you go through really hard things. It's so good to know that through those hard things, that God is with us. I honestly don't know how people could do it without the Lord. How do you do it without hope? How do you do it without peace and joy? In John chapter 16 and verse 33, an encouraging verse. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. In 1 John chapter number 5, turn there, please. In verse 4, it says, and whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? I'm glad the Lord Jesus Christ defeated the ways of this world. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, we're told of the defeat of death. Hey, the Lord is there when the victory is won. You're wondering who stands on the podium at the end of this whole thing? Who gets first place? The Lord Jesus Christ. When it's all said and done, when it's all over, death will be permanently defeated. Sin will have been conquered. And Satan himself will be dismantled, if you will. Toasted, literally. Do you like that, Isaiah? That I like when Isaiah smiles. I knew where to look when I said that. Right there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's look there. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only did he pay for our victory, not only did he pave the way for our victory, but at the end he will be standing there victorious with us. When the victory is won, the Lord will be there. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, we're reminded that Christ himself is seated at the right hand of the Father on the throne. There was a young man playing tennis this past weekend. He's 19 years old. First time this ever happened. Rafael Nadal and Djokovic. What's his first name? Novak Djokovic. Got beat on clay. 19-year-old kid did it. Say, whoa, that's pretty cool. If you know tennis, that was cool. And they're two former champions and this young 19-year-old kid standing there. You know, at the end of this whole thing, you know who's going to be left standing? Jesus Christ himself. When the victory's won, Jesus will be on the throne. The Lord will be there for all eternity. Revelation 21, verse 3 reminds us that it will be for all eternity. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, because of all that, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Lord desires that you'd be saved. Say, I've never called upon the Lord to save me. Will he answer? I promise you he will answer you. If you humble yourself and admit that you're a sinner and acknowledge your sin and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you, he says, I will. The Lord is there when you choose to sin. Say, that's shameful, it is. I invite you to come back. Do you understand that he's sitting on the front porch looking down the way waiting for you to make a move? When you're tired of your sin, when you've come to the, what did it say? When you come to yourself and you finally hit rock bottom, you know what? The Lord will be there. I encourage you to come today. When things look dismal, the Lord is there. When all is said and done, the Lord is there. Go back with me to Ezekiel chapter 48. I just want to remind you here tonight, you're never alone. The devil will try and convince you that you're all by yourself and no one sees and no one cares and no one knows even that you're on this world and you could come in and out and there's no... Hey, the devil will start convincing young people that they don't matter. But God says, I see you. I know where you're at. I know what you're doing. I care for you. I love you. I know you. Not one time will we ever be able to say the Lord wasn't there for me. Verse 35, it was round about 18,000 measures, and the name of the city from that day shall be, the Lord is there. I look forward to heaven. A place named after the presence of God himself. But we have that today too. He's right inside of me. I encourage you here tonight. Let's all stand. If you're here tonight and you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, say it's Mother's Day. Can I even do? Yes, absolutely. Maybe you're doing some things behind maybe your parents' back or think no one pays attention. God doesn't even know. God knows. Lord is there. He sees it all. Why don't you make a move back to the Lord? Why don't you come on back? Father's sitting on the porch just looking down, waiting for you to come down that way. Maybe you're discouraged here tonight, feeling like you're all alone. Maybe things look dismal. The Lord was with Joseph in Egypt and in prison. I promise you, he can be with you here too. A few moments, music's going to play. Maybe the Lord touched your heart about something. Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless this time of invitation. God, it's good to be reminded that you are with us. That God, you care for us. That you love us. That your mercy and grace is enough. Lord, forgive us for looking elsewhere. Lord, I pray if someone here tonight is not saved, I pray that tonight would be the night. That they just humble themselves and call upon you. Lord, I pray if someone has wandered away, tonight would be the night that they return back. Although maybe they may think that their sins are secret, there's no secrets with you. Or maybe someone here tonight is discouraged, thinking that they're all alone. Lord, help them to be reminded that you're with them, that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, I look forward to that victory when one day sin and death and hell are defeated permanently. Lord, I look forward to walking through the streets of gold in a place that is called the Lord is there. until then, Lord, help us to be faithful. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here tonight?